And one of my goals last week was to lay the foundation for Evan Boone. All right. Yeah. Super excited about, there you go. There you go. Super excited about Evan sharing this morning. And so one of the things that we want you to just consider is just this common men for uncommon ministry. And so one of the things that we're constantly trying to present is we're talking about being an apprentice, being a follower, being a learner, being a student, is that we've got to look at the scripture and look at what Jesus modeled. And what we've got to do is go back to the New Testament example and try to, for all of us, to try to filter through some of these religious labels that bind us and hold us and put us in specific lanes. And so this morning, as we're studying and we're looking at Acts chapter 6, we're looking at Acts chapter 7, we mentioned it last week, but one of the things that Evan's going to mention, I want you to consider that these seven men that are being called out, we don't know a lot about them. More than likely, they were new believers. And what we need to see and understand is that what the church needed and what God, Father God, was most concerned about was what was going on inside these men. Not their years of training, but their devotion to being a devoted follower of Christ. And what does that look like? And so I've asked Evan, I said, man, it's time. And it's because as Evan has been reading the book of Acts, like a lot of you, and we've been asking you to read through, one of the things that we've talked about week after week, and he shared a couple weeks ago at men's prayer meeting, is that he's just, the Holy Spirit is drawing him and revealing to him, and he's rereading some of the same things, and he's getting something brand new each and every time out of the scripture, because the scripture is coming alive to him on a whole new level. And so this morning, this is what we've asked. Evan, just share your heart. What the Spirit of God is revealing to you, take us to the scripture, but just be free to open your heart up and to just bless us. So one of the things that this church family, and I want to just remind you, that this is about us being apprenticed. So more than ever before, this church family needs to see more and more people practicing, doing, stepping up, launching out there and doing uncomfortable things, because we are trusting by faith that the Lord is going to use exactly what we're doing. So go be an example to us.
I feel like I just had a hype man to get me started here today. But anyway, so yeah, what Tim kind of said, you know, he brought y'all up to speed with what I'm, where I kind of started and how I got here. I can't blame Tim for putting me up here or dragging me up here. I'd love to say that it's his fault that I'm doing this, but it is definitely my own. I volunteered to do this against my better judgment. So, but yeah, common men for uncommon ministry. You know, I'm here. I'm going to try to talk a little bit about everyday people in the book of Acts. You know, I'm nervous. I'm out of my comfort zone. This is not what I normally do. Usually I'm sitting in a seat just like each and every one of you. And I'm going to kind of, just hoping I don't say anything stupid up here, but I'm going to kind of touch on some things, like Tim said, that have just kind of been on my heart. And I've read the book of Acts over and over again since we kind of started diving into it. And it's definitely spoke to me in a lot of different directions, and I'm going to try to go down one rabbit hole with y'all that it kind of did. So I'm probably going to jump around a little bit, and I'm going to kind of talk about some stuff that we haven't covered yet in the book of Acts. So I apologize, but I'll try to like bring it all together by the end of it. So I hope that it makes sense. But yeah, we've been creeping slowly kind of through the book of Acts here, and it's really kind of changed my thinking. Like Tim said, you know, I have just had a lot of thoughts about this book, and it's definitely, you know, I've kind of read it a little bit in the past, and it's changed my thinking more now than it ever has. And there's something like stirring in my stomach, and just stuff like that. And it's just, my thought process is completely different about it. The way I'm viewing it is completely different. So, Tim spoke a little bit last week about the church multiplying and growing and all these people growing in their faith and joining the Christianity. And, you know, the disciples are at this point where they're doing all these menial tasks, all these little things. They're no longer praying daily. They're no longer going out and discipling to the world. And so the disciples are frustrated and they're excited that the church is growing, and they decide, we're going to read in chapter 6, verse 2 through 7, if anybody wants to turn there in their Bible. But so we're going to meet this guy named Stephen in chapter 6, and we're going to meet some other men that they chose. But just to kind of give you the backstory there, the disciples, you know, are at a point where they feel like they need more help. So, all right, so... So the 12 called a meeting of all believers. They said, "We apostles should spend our time teaching the word of God, not running a food program. And so, brothers, select 7 men who are well-respected and full of the Holy Spirit. We will give them this responsibility. Then we apostles can spend our time in prayer and teaching the word." Everyone liked the idea, and they chose the following: Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit; Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenius, I always mess that one up, Nicholas of Antioch, an earlier convert to the Jewish faith. These 7 were presented to the apostles, who prayed for them as they laid their hands on them. So God's message continued to spread. The numbers of believers greatly increased in Jerusalem, and many of the Jewish priests were converted too. So we kind of know what's going on now. Tim talked a little bit last time. The church is growing. It's blowing up. These believers are men that were chosen to have pure heart. They were growing in their faith. It says about Stephen here, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. So then we go on, and we know that these men are, like Tim kind of said a little bit ago, we know that these men are a little bit newer in their faith. The church at this point is about like 30 years old. So that's something we kind of can deduce from that. But the big thing that you notice here when they're talking about Stephen, and it says, a man full of faith and full of the Holy Spirit. I want y'all to remember that. I've been saying these words over and over to myself. We hear through this book over and over again, full of the Holy Spirit, full of the Holy Spirit. And I told Tim a while back, like, I walked around for a while just like hearing that in my mind over and over again, like, full of the Holy Spirit. I'm trying to figure out, what does that mean? What is this thing they're talking about? But it sounds like this amazing thing if I could get to that point. So then we're gonna move to a point here. I'm jumping ahead a teeny bit, but pretty much what happens is Stephen's gonna be persecuted in chapter 7. And we're gonna learn a little bit more about this guy, Stephen. Stephen's kind of changed my thinking completely about the book of Acts and life and a lot of things that we're gonna talk about today. So in Acts chapter 6, verses 9 through 12, "But one day, some of the men from the synagogue of the freed slaves, as it was called, started to debate with him. They were Jews from Cyrene, Alexandria, and Sicilia in the province of Asia. None of them could stand against the wisdom and the spirit of which Stephen spoke. So they persuaded some men to lie about Stephen, saying that they heard him blaspheme Moses and even God. This roused the people of the elders and the teachers of the religious law. So they arrested Stephen and brought him to the high council." I want you to notice there, it says, none of them could stand against the wisdom and the spirit which Stephen spoke. We just talked about Stephen is a relatively new believer. He's an everyday person. It's just a man that was living life, and he was chosen in the church to help with a food program and to help, you know, just serve the community. But these men who have spent their lives in church are standing there talking to a man, Stephen, and they can't, you know, get one by on him, let's say. So that being said, what is doing that? Something's driving Stephen there. It's probably the Holy Spirit, man full of the Holy Spirit. Stephen then goes to address so I'm going to skip a whole bunch here because it's pretty long, but pretty much what goes on is Stephen goes before the high council and he tells pretty much the whole history of Israel and all their great leaders. And pretty much what he comes down to is Stephen points to the fact that the Bible is always like told of the Messiah coming, and then ultimately the religious leaders just killed him. And they're enraged by this. Who wouldn't be? You know, these men spent their entire lives studying the scripture and they think they're somehow superior. And who's this everyday man that's walking up and just saying, well, y'all messed up and you don't listen, that this man is the Messiah that I follow and I believe in. And so they killed him. This makes them angry, and Stephen is ultimately stoned. He dies for his faith. As he's standing there, he sees Jesus at God's right hand, looking up to the clouds as he's being stoned. This man is dying for his faith. He's being persecuted. So that going on, even after all that, again, this is why I'm saying this man, Stephen, is such an amazing example for each and every one of us. So here's someone newer in their faith, just a everyday guy, and Stephen is, not only did he volunteer, has a servant's heart to serve his community, and he's chosen, and he's clearly in the word, and he is following Jesus' teachings, because they say a man full of faith. But not only that, at the end when he's being persecuted, he asks God to forgive them for what they have done. What an example to all of us. You know, newer, growing in their faith, servant's heart, and then is filled with the Holy Spirit so much that he speaks out and does all these great things, saying these things to these religious leaders and putting them in their place pretty much, and doing it all in Jesus' name as he sees Jesus at God's right hand, and then still, as he's being killed, asks for forgiveness for these men that have persecuted him. I'd love to live my life like that. So what came from Stephen's sacrifice and his work? God's blessings continued. The church was unified, multiplied, magnified. You know, in this book, Luke might have described the climax for Jerusalem. The ministry was growing. It was exploding. And it is estimated 8,000 Jewish priests attended that temple where Stephen was killed. And many of them decided to make Jesus Christ their savior. So I say all that, that's kind of like the next part that we're on to kind of just talk a little bit about. When Tim and I talked about this, there's three points that have kind of stuck out to me with the Holy Spirit and being full of the Holy Spirit. And again, this is just something I'm trying to figure out for myself. What does this look like in life? What does full of the Holy Spirit look like? And I kind of break it down into three things. And so the first part we're going to talk about is, you know, we're going to talk a little bit about the disciples, and then we're going to go on to talk about Stephen, and then actually talk about a man named Saul, which we haven't touched on yet, but some of y'all might know who he is. So I find it encouraging about this book. You know, we're going through the book of Acts. I'm perplexed by the fact that these men live their life by the direction of the Holy Spirit every day. Like Tim said, this person is leading them through their lives every day, and it's given them direction. It's given them courage. I can't even comprehend what it would take. I mean, I'm struggling to stand up here. Y'all should have seen me in the first service. It was a lot worse. I had taken a lot more drinks by now. But he stood there and did very bold things in the name of Jesus Christ. And the only thing that it says about that is full of the Holy Spirit. We hear that multiple times. We hear when Peter is standing before the religious leaders, the exact same thing. Full of the Holy Spirit speaks boldly in Jesus' name. So I'm trying to work through this. What does that mean? Like, what would that look like today here? What would it be like today if people felt like the Holy Spirit was guiding them through their lives daily? What would it be like if we all listened and knew when to listen when the Holy Spirit was telling things? I don't know exactly what it is when the Holy Spirit's trying to tell us things. I can't stand up here and tell you I know what the answer is, but I know that the men in this book, they heard it like a voice, and they were so in tune with what it was trying to guide them to do that it just came easy. The Holy Spirit guided Peter and John and gave them strength to perform miracles in Jesus' name. The Holy Spirit spoke to people, like I said, using actual, you know, they could hear it, giving them courage to speak out against corruption and hatred. We hear that in Acts 3 and 4. So like I said, the Holy Spirit working through people stronger in their faith. People stronger in their faith in this book, I'd say, were the disciples. These were the men that were closest to Jesus. They learned directly from him. They walked life with him. Tim calls them apprentice. So I'd say they were a little bit stronger in their faith. But ultimately, they were everyday men. Most of these men were fishermen or some kind of trade-related job. They had a whole nother career. They just chose one day to follow a man that they felt like was trying to tell them something, that they knew there was a Messiah coming and they felt like it was him. So the disciples in Acts chapter 1, verse 7, Jesus promises the disciples the Holy Spirit. And so these men, they know that they have this to just give them strength and guidance and just to lead them every day. And they go through life, and through the book of Acts, we keep hearing of all these miracles that they're performing, and the Holy Spirit is building them up, filling them up. It is giving them energy, strength, guidance. It's telling them what town to go, all these things. But they are full of the Holy Spirit. Wow, what a concept. Full of the Holy Spirit. So what I'm saying here is here we see Jesus and the Holy Spirit working through men that are a little bit stronger in their faith. The next part we're right here. We've been talking about this man named Stephen. Stephen, again, was so important that the Bible speaks of him in a whole chapter and what he did in Jesus' name. He stood there against these men and found every word he needed to find, better than I'm finding the words I'm finding now. But he stood there and found every word he needed to find to call them out on what they had done through their own history and everything. And then at the end of it, he stood there and was persecuted in Jesus' name and for his faith. So this is an everyday person. Stephen is a great example of any one of us. He was in a church. He felt a need. He was called for a need to help and serve, and he did it. He stood up and he did it. And then when he was persecuted, he was still full of the Holy Spirit, and the fire burning in him gave him strength to get through that horrible time. So that's the second point, Holy Spirit working in everyday people. Yeah. So then the last part I have is the redeeming power of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit working through broken people. So later in the book, we're going to talk about a man named Saul. Many of you know Saul becomes Paul. I tell people Saul was just a really bad dude. Not only was, you know, most men, you'll hear a lot of men in the Bible speak about like all the horrible things he had done. This is just the worst of the worst when it comes to like Jesus's followers. He was persecuting them, going from town to town, trying to kill them. He was standing there when Stephen was killed and he was completely fine with it. He thought it was just and right. So Saul goes on, and Jesus says, tells a man named Ananias that Jesus wants to use Saul. He wants to use Saul for amazing things. Saul ultimately becomes one of our greatest writers in the Bible and one of the greatest men of faith. He's not a disciple. He wasn't one of these men that followed Jesus around and lived life with him every day. He wasn't some religious scholar that went to some Ivy League college or anything. Saul was a man with a very broken past, dirty past, that he hoped most people would not judge him for, but they did in the beginning. But he went and he was faithful every day from the Holy Spirit speaking to him daily, giving him direction on where to go, what to do, what to say, and how to live his life to glorify Jesus every day. I would say that Saul was probably one of the most unlikely men for the Holy Spirit to use. Jesus did amazing things through Saul. Ultimately, Saul goes on to be Paul and is imprisoned and tortured, all for his faith. But every day he's led by the Holy Spirit and he is filled back up with the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gets Saul through everyday life, the corruption, the persecution, just like he got Stephen through persecution. Saul goes on to tell people about the redeeming power of Jesus and sharing his love, going from city to city of telling people how he can save them. So I say that those things about three people. We've learned that the Holy Spirit works in people strong in their faith, everyday people, and then people with maybe a messed up past. All of us have a corrupt, have a past. I have a past that I hope people don't kind of know about, but I'm standing up here before you right now. We're kind of in the same place now. These men were living in a time where Christians were being persecuted publicly. They were living in a time where, they needed guidance. They needed leadership. They needed someone to get them through this dirty life that they were living in, this dirty, dirty world. And I kind of feel like we're in a similar place. Now more than ever, we need someone to lead us through our lives. So we've heard about the Holy Spirit using people and what's holding them back. I think the church people, we have to shed the labels that we've created. Pastor, counselor, leader. We put boundaries on ourselves and we put boundaries on other people. Sorry, just a second. So I'm here telling you that. I'm here telling you that's not what the men in this book of the Bible lived out every day. Or sorry, I skipped a spot. Sorry. Ignore that. It's okay. Again, not a professional here. So the new American way, we talked about boundaries. So the American way now is let's build a building. Let's pay people to work there. And let's let discipling, discipleship be their responsibility. It's not the way these men lived in the Bible right here. It was everyone's responsibility. Yep. Everyone had a servant's heart in the moment and went around, and that's why the numbers were growing so rapidly, so fast. That's not what the Holy Spirit did with Stephen. Stephen stood there full of the Holy Spirit and did amazing things. As an everyday man, Stephen went on to die for his faith, but he was not someone he was not a disciple. He was not some special person. He was an everyday person that did amazing things for Jesus Christ. I think as Americans, we feel like we have to put everything in a nice little neat box. We have to give everybody these nice little titles and stay in their lane. That's not the way Jesus lived. Jesus lived outside the box. Many people felt like Jesus spent too much time with people that he probably shouldn't have. I think as a church, we have to try to be this way. We have to realize that we can't put people in a box. We have to realize that it's not Tim's job, ultimately, to be the only one to disciple to people. It's not Chris's, it's not Tom's, it's not any of these people's job to daily go around and be the only ones that are discipling, loving on people, spending time with people, investing in people. Tim talked about the youth a little bit ago. I'm so thankful for the youth in our church. And I'm thankful for people that go every Wednesday and spend time at youth group. Not Chris, who, it, like we would like to say, that's his title. That's his job. He's supposed to do that. Chris would do that whether that's his job or not. Tim would do this job whether it's his, do that whether it's his job or not. They are the example that we need to live by. We have people in our church that volunteer constantly to do things. We talked about Bailey last week, or a couple weeks ago. Something burning inside of her felt like she needed to do something. And now our church is multiplied and people are learning things and connecting with their community through a woman that just had something burning in her so strong that she didn't know what to do. I'm not standing here because I think I've got this all figured out. I'm not sitting here telling this or preaching this to you because I feel like I figured it out. I don't have some degree. I'm not supposed to be up here. I'm just an everyday person. That there is something that was welling up in me so much that I felt like I couldn't stop it anymore. And that's what I said. Tim didn't drag me to do this. I'd love to say that Tim dragged me to do this because I hate being up here and it's not my thing. But he didn't. I'm trying to be a practical example here of what you need, what you can do if the Holy Spirit is telling you things. That feeling you have in your gut, it's not just like an upset stomach. When you see someone in need, or you know someone you work with, or you see a need in our church, it's not just this like feeling you're having in your stomach. Is you'd like to believe that it's like, oh, I'm probably got gas or I got upset stomach or something like that. It's not. And we have people in this church that, our church wouldn't be what it is right now. The people, I'm using church, the people, this community would not be what it is right now if it weren't for people that when that welled up, they did something about it. Absolutely. So I think ultimately what I'm saying standing here is I'm trying to call us to be, you know, to be the church and not just attend church. Yeah. Be a community that's trying to get outside of our comfort zone and listen to the Holy Spirit, devoting time to listening to the Holy Spirit. So I'll kind of close with these few things. I could go around the room and look at each and every one of you. I've known a lot of people in this room for a really long time. And ultimately, it comes down to, you know, what's holding you back? What's holding you back from listening to the what that feeling that's telling you to do something different? Be obedient to what the Holy Spirit is doing in you. Again, this is not what I wanted to do. But I do feel like that the Holy Spirit is moving in our community and is guiding people. And people, I hear a lot of people talking about ideas they have and things they think it are needed in our community. And I hate to see people held back by fear or, I don't know. So I think it kind of comes down to Stephen was an example of being obedient. He had willingness. And he didn't let the fear of failure hold him back. This is not, you know, it's the fire inside of him that welled up to the point that it gave him strength. God gave him strength to do miraculous things and bold things, just like he gave the disciples to do miraculous things. He gave that same strength to people strong in their faith that walked with Jesus every day as he gave to the man that was just attending church and was serving. And then it's the same strength that he gave to a man that was persecuting him. So I'm here kind of asking each and every one of you, don't put boundaries on yourself. Don't live inside a box. We like to put boxes around ourselves because it's safe and it protects us. Don't put a title on yourself that it's not your job, it's somebody else's job. Again, Tim can't really say this, but it's not just Tim's job to go out and disciple to people and love on people. It's all of our job. Jesus tells each and every one of us to go out and spread the word. And to help people and love people and be involved in a community. as Americans, we kind of believe that it's like the government's job to take care of people. It's not. It's this community's job, this church. You know, it's people volunteering to help people that are in need with food. It's people loving people that are going through a hard time. It's praying for people, getting together and praying for people that are going through real hardship. Tim talked about cancer this morning. That's what the Holy Spirit can do in people. Guide you to lead those things. Love people. Get outside of your comfort zone and take those boundaries off of yourself for those titles. Not because you need to do this, not because you went to some Ivy League college or you have all your stuff together, but we all need to do it because it's what God called us to do. There's a fire inside of each and every one of you. And I just believe that you need to let it out. Take the boundaries off yourself. Take the restrictions off yourself. Today, I know there's a fire in many of you, and I'm hoping that you'll let the Holy Spirit kind of guide your lives. Got Tim.
You can stay right here.
Yeah.
So many of you know Evan. You've watched him grow. You've watched him mature. You're watching him change. So this is part of that apprenticeship program. The Holy Spirit has been revealing things to him, and what we are hoping that you're going to receive from what he's saying, he's critiquing himself about the words and the delivery, but what we care about is the passion that's coming out of him that he can't keep sequestered and squelched any longer.
I've been trying.
That's what we're talking about. And so I know right now that there are people that Evan is discipling and he's pouring into, and he can say what he's saying because he and I have spent time together through the years. And so he's taken that and he is now trying to invest in other men, other young men. And that's that component of making disciples as we go. But there is also that part that he's talking about that many of you are experiencing the same thing. Being full of faith and full of the Holy Spirit. Common men and women doing uncommon ministry. We don't need more paid people in the church in America. We need more people that are passionately in love with Jesus and yielding their lives to the power of the Holy Spirit for daily living on the job. And when you're presented with an opportunity to lie and misrepresent, and everybody around you says, this is the way our business culture is, you say, no, I can't do that. Why? Because of my following Jesus and my faith in him. That's what it looks like. And that's why we are standing up here, because this is a progression. This is an apprenticeship program. And honestly, this church family is going to have more and more first experiences and people stepping up. And Evan's not going to be the last man, person, woman to stand up here and proclaim faith on a whole new level and their knees be knocking and drinking a gallon of water while you're up here because your throat's closing in on you. How's that feel?
I mean, look out. Warning you now.
Okay. But this is what we're trying to be. Let's not just read about it and say, well, this was for then. No, what can we extrapolate from Acts and say, God, do it again in us? We have to participate. And what you saw today is a young man that's stepping up and saying, Father, I'm scared to death, but I want to participate in this fire that is burning deep inside, and I don't want to keep my mouth shut. You got any last thing you want to say now?
Just don't let the boundaries hold you back.
I'll just speak to Madison County because we talk about this privately. Some of you, you've got a past. You've grown up around here. People know about your past. We are not going to be the kind of church family that puts you in a lane and keeps you there. Other people may try to do that, but we're not going to live that way. Forgiveness, repentance, change, learning, growing, transforming. We need to be the kind of church family where we don't remind people of their past. We prepare people with hope for their future in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
So let's be that family. Let's learn from what Evan is teaching us in the scripture and the passion that he has. Let's stand and let's continue to worship in song this morning.